Hi everyone, this is Hannah with the Holistic Hormonal Health Podcast, and today I have Melissa Turner with me. I am super excited about this interview because Melissa Turner is the owner of EndoEmpowered.com, and she was diagnosed with endometriosis at 19. She went through a bunch of conventional treatments, you could say, in quotes, with plenty of surgeries and all of that that you normally go through with endometriosis, but she did not have a good time of it and it was not actually helping her symptoms. So she ended up learning so much about what she could do to try to help her endometriosis symptoms. And today she is actually symptom-free and helping other women learn what they can do to get rid of their endometriosis symptoms as well. So welcome, Melissa.
Thank you so much.
And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about your story in your own words, too.
Sure. So, yeah, I received the daunting news from my doctor when I was 19, and he pretty much laid out that endometriosis was something that I had to live with for the rest of my life. And at that stage, it was really painful and really severe. And I actually struggled to get through a day with the level of pain that I was experiencing at the time. So it was really quite nasty news. He also informed me that there was no cure and pretty much I would have to live on either synthetic hormones and painkillers for the rest of my life. So, and at 19, I guess I really trusted in my doctor and really, you know, wanted to do what he thought was the best for me. And yeah, and so his treatment plan for me was pretty much to try different synthetic hormones to try and reduce the cysts from growing, and regular surgery, which involved surgery every year and a half. I had 7 surgeries in the end, and after the last one I just couldn't do it anymore. My body just said no more, and there had to be a better way. And so I explored various different things, and actually turning to natural medicine, or you know, the holistic approach for my body, was really a last resort. I actually thought to myself it wasn't going to work. I didn't actually believe that it would make any difference, because I'd been told by my doctor for so many years that, oh, you know, diet doesn't do anything, and oh, don't worry about that. And it was sort of, yeah, like I just went, well, I'm just going to try it, because I had heard of women who tried it and had results with changing their diet and looking at, you know, herbs and Chinese doctors and acupuncture and various different things. And so I thought, okay, I'm going to give it 6 months, and that's my deadline. And if after the 6 months it's not any better, then yes, I'm going to go for a hysterectomy or another operation, and that'll be it, you know? So I was in a pretty bad state. And during that 6 months, I really did give it my all. I did everything that the books told me to do. I had a strategy that I followed. I, you know, exercised every day. I looked at my emotional side as well. I didn't just put it down to food. I did look at sort of the emotional aspects, that there might be something there with endometriosis. I did change my diet. I pretty much did everything that I could get my hands on. And yeah, now I don't have symptoms anymore. It has been, you know, 4 years since I started that journey, so it was a long learning curve, but now I feel that I really have a handle on endometriosis and my life. So I want to share that message with as many women as I can.
That's amazing, and I think that there are so few people doing that, and it's amazing to have someone like you sharing what you've learned, because you are obviously very devoted to this, especially having had endometriosis yourself and knowing how awful it is to go through. I wanted to ask you a couple of things. First of all, I was really struck when you said 6 months is what you gave yourself, because, and I think maybe if you're just starting out with the holistic thing, especially, you're like, okay, 6 months. But for me, I would probably give myself so much longer than that. So I would love to know, I guess, well, maybe a little bit why you gave yourself 6 months, and also how much of a symptom reduction you saw went in those 6 months.
So for me, 6 months was, I feel at the time, was probably the most I could handle. And I think that's why where 6 months came from.
Yeah.
I know that there are different stages of endometriosis and there's different pain levels. And, you know, our journeys are all very different. Some women have only just found out they have endometriosis. So, you know, they might not be as strict with their diet. They might not feel quite as fed up. You know, at the
Yeah.
time I was feeling particularly fed up with my health, my body, the endometriosis. It had restricted my choices in my life. It had, you know, there were so many things that I felt that I was limited with by having the condition. So it was coming from a place possibly of anger, and I kind of needed to have that deadline, but it needed to be something that I felt was not too long. So I think for me, the 6 months came out of just that. It wasn't, and it isn't perhaps realistic for all women to receive results within 6 months, but I think with the right approach, it can be. For me, the effect that I had in that 6 months were amazing. I did feel the emotional part was actually a fairly substantial part of that. That I connected a lot with stuff that had happened to me in the past that I actually released from my body. And I literally felt that release. I actually felt a lightness in my body and a de-stress in my body. And I think that was a big part of that. And I think for a lot of us, that stuff's really hard to look at. So, you know, yes, diet will make a substantial difference. And yes, you know, cleansing and doing exercise and all of those wonderful things will definitely help. But I think the emotional side is often the side that we possibly dismiss and don't want to look at, which I feel was a big part of what helped me so much.
I totally agree. I think not only is it a hard part to look at, but I think it's probably one of the hardest parts to change as well. In anything, I think that not just endometriosis, but with anything, there's always some sort of emotional component, and it's super easy to change your diet. Yeah, some people will have more or less willpower, but it's very objective and it's very step by step, and you're doing it very thoughtfully. But with emotions, it's so easy to slip back into whatever you're previous and you're used to. So.
Yeah, I mean, a sort of silly example is I often get women who they get onto the endometriosis diet, and you know, I basically you're cutting out a lot of foods within the diet, so there are a lot of common food groups that you would cut out that, you know, within normal society are sort of common foods. So it does become incredibly challenging to then go to social events and things like that. But often I'll get comments like, "It's so restrictive. I just want my life back. I just want to be able to enjoy foods." And people don't realize just how much they're setting themselves up mentally by those kind of statements, you know. Whereas if you look at it as, how can I truly replenish my body? How can I truly nourish every single cell in my body? You know, what foods are out there that can provide my body with that amazing nutrition, you know, lots of minerals and vitamins and all that good stuff that my body needs? Where can I get that from? And there are certainly foods in our Western society that inhibit our function. They inhibit our digestion, they create inflammation, they're acidic on the body, and those things are impacting your health. But if you're looking at the mental side and you're feeling restricted and you're feeling negative about it, it's counterintuitive. Does that make sense?
Definitely.
So I feel like there is so much of the mental stuff that comes into even just the diet, you know. And yeah, like you say, there is discipline, but where does that discipline come from? You know, where does our mindset around food come from? It's
Yeah.
and how we perceive things, and that comes back to our emotions.
Yeah.
So it is a big loop, and that's why I do place a lot of emphasis on releasing the emotions from the body.
Yeah, I think probably the best in quotes, that might be different for everyone, the best diet in the world is not going to do you any good if you feel terribly about following that diet. I would love to know as well, you have obviously had great, great success with your endometriosis, and you obviously had really terrible endometriosis as well. There is also a large part of the endometriosis community that really still conforms to that belief of what your doctor told you. You know, it's incurable. They have it. They're stuck with it. And I would love to know what your belief is about how much of it, like how many people could transform their endometriosis symptoms and not have them anymore through just natural measures. Do you think that it is feasible for everyone to do, or do you think that there are certain cases that it's just not going to happen, or do you think it's just that they haven't tapped into certain things, maybe like emotional components or a certain component that's really going to help them in their relief of symptoms?
I do believe that everyone has it within themselves to reduce those symptoms. I don't like to use the word cure, but you know, ultimately I feel that I have cured myself of endometriosis. I feel that essentially what I've done is I've kind of packaged up the components that I feel are important for women to use when they're trying to approach endometriosis holistically. Because there's a misnomer that, hey, all I need to do is fix my diet.
Yeah.
Or all I need to do is do some yoga. You know? And so what I've done is I've actually compiled what I call the REACH technique. And each letter within the word REACH stands for a component. So replenish is the R, E is exercise, A is affirm, and that's got to do with the emotional side. Cleanse is the next one, and then help is support. You know, so if we take all of those components and we bring those together, there can be amazing transformations for women with endometriosis. I've had cases of women who were at a point of considering hysterectomies, and they have taken all of those elements in combination, and they are now living symptom-free. You know,
wow.
So that the severity was so bad that they couldn't live a normal life. Like, they were just like, just cut it all out. Seriously, I just can't deal with this anymore. And by combining those elements and incorporating that into their life, they now can live a normal life, you know? So it really can have that impact. I think the key thing here is you need to be open-minded enough to do it. And I think that with endometriosis, we've been told negative messages for so long about, oh, you can never cure it, you've got to live with it forever, it's going to spread if you don't watch out. You know, there's a lot of negative messages. And so we often live in a state of fear, and it's scary to be hopeful.
Yeah.
You know, it's scary to try. It's scary to say, I'm not going to take, you know, synthetic hormones because, you know, they are not healthy, and they're not, you know, they interfere with my body's natural abilities. And that's scary because, you know, I know for myself, when I was on synthetic hormones for, you know, 15 years, because I was so petrified that if I wasn't on something, the endometriosis was just going to spread to every part of my abdomen.
Yeah.
Because that was the message I got from my doctor, that if I'm not careful, it's just going to keep spreading. And I had this vision like it was a cancer. That's the visual that I had in my head. And so to come off those things and to actually decide that I was going to go for the natural approach was incredibly daunting, was incredibly scary. And I totally understand that.
Yeah, definitely. I think that it's, I think there's that element of it, the terror of needing guidance, and when your doctor isn't giving you the encouragement that you need, it's hard to step into a different place. And also, a little bit of, I think it can be hard for people too when there is, especially with emotional components, having this feeling like, oh, did I do this to myself? And what have I done to make this worse or deserve this or bring this on?
And I think what happens with the diet is that as well is, I think there is a statement I feel a lot of women with endometriosis we share, and that is, it's not enough. Whether that translates into I'm not enough or I'm not doing enough or I'm not doing the diet well enough. There is, and I've felt that statement so often when I connect with women with endometriosis. It's just like it's almost deep within there somewhere. And I feel like a lot of the time what happens with the diet is women get obsessive about it. It's like I need to do more. I'm not doing enough. I'm not being strict enough. I didn't follow it well enough. And so they dismiss what they've been doing. They dismiss the steps they have taken because they feel like it's not enough. And because they keep telling themselves this message, it's almost like the body responds. It's like you're saying to the body, well, it's not enough. So you need to get more. And until you get more, it's, I'm not going to feel better. And I know this is like, we're going around in circles in terms of the emotional side, but that is connected. If you're telling yourself every single day that I'm not doing enough and the pain's not going to get any better, well, your body's going to deliver on that. Your brain is incredibly smart. It will tell, if you're telling yourself that, it'll tell the rest of your body that, So I think that that's what happens with the diet. Women become really obsessive. I mean, I've had women who, to the point where they read every single ingredient in a food, and then if it's got, 2% of something that they've been advised to avoid, they totally panic about it, and they talk about it for days on end about how they had, this minuscule amount of whatever it was. And yes, your diet is important, and yes, we want to avoid certain foods, and yes, there are things that are going to contribute to inflammation and pain. But cut yourself some slack. It's not the end of the world if it happens every now and again. It's not the end of the world if you have a little bit of chocolate. I get women who, they're right in my support group and they say, oh, I feel so guilty. I had half a slab of chocolate and I don't know what to do, and what can I do to counteract what I've done? And honestly, they torment themselves, and I just go, well, eat the other half the slab, just enjoy it. If you're gonna have it, don't beat yourself up about it. It's worse to put yourself through that much anxiety about it than to just every now and again, just enjoy it and enjoy life and let it go, So yeah, it's quite a funny one.
So talking about I am enough, I want to talk about that for a minute because I think that that's something that probably not only resonates with endometriosis people, but probably a lot of women in general as well, because we're kind of taught that there's so much that we need to do to be a woman and particularly be a modern woman, and we're so much taught to see the value outside of ourselves and what we're doing to make everyone else happy and all of that stuff. So, is a big part of the emotional component that work, that self-value for
Definitely,
endometriosis?
definitely huge. I've actually developed a program called the Inner Love Journey, and it is all about how to release stuff that's actually inhibiting you. I never wanted to look at that stuff. I never wanted to acknowledge that I actually had limiting beliefs about myself, that there was stuff there that it's really hard to do. And I found that it can transform your whole life when you actually release that stuff. I'm very big into EFT, emotional freedom technique. I cannot vouch for it enough. I've used it actually recently, and it completely changes your perspective on yourself and your life. And it can do that within an hour. You know, it's amazing. You cannot get the level of transformation, I don't think, with anything else. Like, I'm just a huge fan. And I have four speakers within that program, and one of them is Anna, who is my practitioner that I work with EFT, and she actually takes you through the EFT process, and we work on anxiety together within the program. And it's just fundamental, I think, to use techniques like that to release the burden within the body, and that feeling of not being enough is such a key part of that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of women connect with, if I'm not able to have a baby, then I'm not woman enough.
Yes.
You know, now endometriosis and infertility are a huge, huge factor. You know, so if we're having that connection of, well, I've got endometriosis, I'm already, there's horrible statements like, I'm broken. You know, I'm broken because I have endometriosis. Having sex is painful. I'm not good enough as a woman to be there for my partner. I can't satisfy him the way that he wants because it's painful if he goes in really deep, you know. I'm not able to have children, or having children is really difficult. What kind of woman am I? You know, these kind of statements, I mean, they're really painful to talk about, and they really, you know, they're there. But that stuff needs to come out. You know, that stuff is not good for your psyche. It's not good if you're trying to heal yourself or feel better about yourself. It all impacts.
Yeah, that's definitely heavy stuff. And I think that with what you're talking about with tapping, that's interesting that that is something that you've seen that's so beneficial. I probably know less about it than many of the people listening to this, but I know a little bit about it, and I think that I've seen a lot of value in terms of when people are really in the throes of that emotion and they use that tapping. And if for anyone who doesn't know, the tapping, what she was talking about, EFT, is also referred to as tapping. And it's kind of thinking these negative thoughts while you're tapping on these certain points that are acupressure points, right, Melissa? Yeah, they're acupressure points, and it kind of helps you release the emotion, right? Yeah. And I think that when you're really in the throes of that and using that, I've seen a lot of people really like that.
I mean, I'll give you an example. When my father passed away, I went into massive depression, like really severe depression, to the point where I was actually having suicidal thoughts, which is not like me at all. And my husband was really worried about me. He, you know, I was making statements like, I'm just gonna jump in the river and drown. I just don't want to carry on. I lost all interest in my work. I was, you know, just not myself at all. And I knew that EFT had been effective for me for other things in the past, and so I booked my session, and within an hour I'd done, you know, huge amounts of work. And you know, my counselor, she actually found sort of the root reason why I felt that was actually tied into a near-death experience that I had when I was in my 20s, that I'd connected death to, just, you know, I had real issues around death. And she released all of that, and within an hour, I was totally fine again. I was totally myself again. I was, you know, totally excited about life again. And you know, I know it sounds really strange, like when I first heard about EFT, and literally you sit there and you're literally tapping on your face, like,
Yeah.
sounds ridiculous. And you
And
know, only
looks
reason I
ridiculous.
yeah, only reason I ever tried it was because somebody in my one of my followers actually recommended that I try it because, you know, I talked about the emotional side of endometriosis quite a bit on my blog. And, you know, somebody wrote to me and said, hey, Mel, you should really try, you know, EFT. And at the first time I did EFT, I actually have a video on my blog the first time I did it. And you can actually see the transformation in my face.
Oh,
wow.
You
can actually see my face is like glowing, you know, because I'm just so freed from years of stuff that I'd, you know, because it was quite cool in a way, because I kind of knew what my issues were, like throughout my life. Like I'd kind of, you know, I'm very analytical, and I was very connected with my own stuff. Like I knew what my stuff was. I wasn't like a lot of people just shove that stuff under the carpet and just they don't even look at it. Whereas I was very aware, but I never knew how to get rid of it, you know. And I tried sort of talking to people, like, you know, going to a counselor or whatever, and you talk over your stuff. And I tried that, but it never freed it. It never got rid of it. You know, it was always sort of there. So when I went for my first EFT session, it was almost like I had a list, you know, and I kind of went through the list and I was like, right, these are all the things that I kind of know I need to get rid of. And so I think that's why that session was particularly effective, because it was like, finally, I can just free all the stuff from my body, you know? So yeah, I mean, I'll actually give you that link for that video, because you can really see the difference. Like, it's quite amazing.
Yeah, I'll definitely put that below this podcast too, so everyone can see it and get an idea of what that is and why we say it sounds and looks so ridiculous. And they can decide for themselves what they think about it. So I also would love, I know we have to finish up pretty soon here, but I would love to know what a few of your kind of top tips are when you, like, say you just have a little bit of time with somebody and they're just desperate to know what they could be doing in order to help their endometriosis. Like, what are the first things that you would tell them to do?
I think the first step, and this is where sort of following the REACH technique, if we look at the first letter, it's replenish, and it's all about diet. So really replenishing the body with the right foods and looking at the foods that actually are causing inflammation and pain. So the biggest one that I got huge amounts of relief from was cutting out gluten. You know, so cutting out all breads, cutting out the cookies. You know, I was having cookies every day at work. You know, all of those gluten-filled foods.
Yeah.
Gluten really interferes with digestion, and it creates a lot of inflammation in the body, and it actually can inhibit iron absorption, which if you've got endometriosis and you're having any kind of heavy bleeding, you could be low on iron. Now that'll affect your energy levels and everything. So that would be my number one thing to do first off, is to cut out gluten.
Mm-hmm.
I also think that in terms of exploring how to approach endometriosis and what to focus on, I think for me, like, there's so much information in terms of, oh, let's look at our hormones, let's, you know, look at anxiety levels, let's, you know, there's so much information in terms of what you should do. For me, the key organ that I focus on with endometriosis is the liver.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of women kind of focus just on, oh, you know, I've got estrogen imbalance. But if you compare a group of women with endometriosis, you'll actually find that we share a lot of symptoms that range outside of just our hormones.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, thyroid imbalances, allergies, autoimmune conditions, IBS. You know, I've actually got a list of them in an article I wrote called 20 Symptoms of Endometriosis. And I literally list all these symptoms that we share. Now, if you take each one of those and you kind of try and analyze where they originate from, a lot of it comes down to the liver. And I've seen amazing results just by cleaning out the liver. So obviously diet plays a big part in that. So there are foods that the liver just doesn't like, you know, so if you're eating a lot of really fatty foods, the liver struggles to digest. It doesn't digest it, but it struggles to process fats. So cutting out those kind of foods, sugars, very, you know, very hard for the liver to, you know, it's got to store all that glycogen. So we want to cut down on the sugars, you know, and sugars include carbs, you know, your breads. So once again, the gluten, that's where that's great to cut out the gluten first off. But yeah, the liver is the main one that I focus on. And my new program that I'm developing, I actually go into a lot of detail on those symptoms of endometriosis and how specific foods can aid or take away from those symptoms. So, you know, we can either work with the body or against the body. And I share exactly which foods work for the body within that program and show you which ones don't. So women can get a better understanding of, you know, if we pull it apart just symptom by symptom, it's much easier to then fix each one independently.
Yeah, that's great. Okay. So I think we're probably around 30 minutes right now, and I try to keep these under 30 minutes, but I would love to hear. I know you've spoken a little bit about your program, but if you could tell people about what you offer for people with endometriosis, for anyone that feels that they need more guidance.
So I've basically taken my REACH technique and I've developed programs for each element within that. So I've got a specific recipe book, which is all about, you know, what we should be eating. I've then developed a program, which is the one I just spoke of, the Eat Endo Happy program, and that is specific for how you can use food for the body. I then have E, which is the exercise part of the REACH technique, and that's where I have the yoga for endometriosis. And then A is Affirm, which is the inner love journey. So that's, you know, looking at the emotional aspects of endometriosis. And then C is all about cleansing. So we didn't really touch on this, but cleansing is a big part of feeling better because there's a huge amount of toxin overload with a lot of women with endometriosis. So actually flushing out those toxins. So it runs on a monthly basis. So every month I release a new cleanse and you can either decide to join or not join. They vary depending on, you know, some of them are more intense than others, but you always have the option to jump on board or not jump on board depending on, you know, where you're at in your life. And then H is help, and that's actually do a free support group, which is on Facebook. So women can come in and they can ask questions about how to use holistic methods for endometriosis. And, you know, they get huge amounts of support. There's a lot of women there and, you know, a lot of experience within the group. We have, you know, nurses and doctors and all sorts of amazing women in there who really can guide women on how they can use holistic methods for their body.
Yeah, that is seriously so amazing and valuable, and it's free. So, if you have any interest in, you have endometriosis yourself, you know anyone with it, or anything like that, I would definitely recommend that you join that Facebook group.
Yeah. And you can find everything on my website, Endo Empowered. There's the support group link is on the bottom right under guidance. So you can just click on that and subscribe. And you know, it is a secret group, so you're not going to find it on Facebook. We do keep it secret as we just want to make sure that women are really into the holistic approach. And you know, it's a very special group.
Yeah, and I will be linking all of your information down below as well so that everyone can get to you easily.
Sure.
Yes, well, thank you so much for coming on today, Melissa. I love having someone who is so knowledgeable about endometriosis and natural ways to deal with it. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's always wonderful to share and help women. You know, I do offer free Skype chats as well. So if you need some guidance on what you should do and you know whether you should start with diet or where you're at within your own journey with endometriosis, then I do offer free Skype chats every single month. So yeah.
Great. Well, thank you so much.
Cool. All right,
Okay,
thank you.
bye.